Okay, so assuming you paid attention this morning, you saw the story with the woman that Jesus picked out of the crowd, needed the healing, needed to be released from the bondage she's in, and he happens to do this on the Sabbath, and the ruler comes and has a problem with this, right? There's probably many bad views of the Sabbath out there. And what we want to do is have a good view of the Sabbath, a biblical understanding of it. We've talked about before how often it's put in a negative light, sort of what you can't do on the Sabbath. Make sure you don't do these things on the Sabbath, as opposed to what is the positive view of the Sabbath? What does the Sabbath mean? And so that's really where our time is going to be spent. And so I want to read the passage here from Deuteronomy. This is, if you probably know this, the Ten Commandments are really in two places, in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And there's slight differences if you go read it. And so Deuteronomy is especially helpful for us tonight. And then I'll also go ahead and read the Hebrews 4 passage because we'll use that toward the end as well. So let me read God's word here. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well with you. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. In Hebrews 4, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word and these wonderful things that you tell us. You help us understand our own lives. You help us understand who we are in Christ. And even tonight, as we think of the glory and the joy and the gift that the Sabbath is to your people, we pray that you would bless us. You'd nourish us now by your word. May we be encouraged and be those who long for not just the Sabbath that we have once a week, but the Sabbath that we will have in the future. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it seems as a society, we have a problem resting. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. I heard some statistics a couple of years ago in a guy's sermon talking about vacation days and how the U.S. is not good about taking vacations. There is something like 54% of Americans do not take all of their vacation time. There is something like 662 million days of vacation that are sort of just left on the table that no one takes advantage of. It's quite incredible. The most offensive city, that's probably the wrong word for what I'm about to say, is Washington, D.C., as far as the most unused days. They're like 62% of people that live in Washington, D.C. do not take their vacation days. Now, some of us would probably wish they would for a long time. Do you know what the number one city is for the most used vacation days? Is that Seattle? No. Pittsburgh. We are actually pretty good at it. I'm not. We're actually pretty good at it. It's the number one city in the country that takes most of its vacations, like 40% of the people. Pennsylvania is like seventh in the whole country on taking vacation days. But it's like we don't like to take days off. It's like we don't like to rest. It's like we think we're so needed, so we just... I just have to go do it. I just have to go to work. I know I've been given X amount of days, but I can't take all those days. company will fall apart, the church will fall apart, whatever it might be that we kind of see ourselves as important. But it would seem that rest is really important for us. Sabbath is really important for us. And there are many ways the Sabbath, as far as the biblical understanding of it, are misunderstood. Perhaps that's because it finds itself in the context of law. And so we hear, you're commanded to take the Sabbath, which is true. But often that can make us misunderstand what the Sabbath is really all about in some ways. And so we're just going to work through this, and there's a number of things I'm going to point out to us that that God has even said within his law how wonderful the Sabbath is for the people. So look at we'll start in verse 12 and 13. We'll put those together. So he starts with, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. It's just sort of an overarching statement. Observe the Sabbath. You need to take the Sabbath as part of your life. It's something you need to observe, something you need to keep holy. We could ask, what does it mean to keep it holy? Just simply, it needs to be different than other days. It needs to be a day that's set apart for you. But what does it look like? Does this mean you need to be sitting in your house, not talking to any other people, just on your face in contrition? Is this what the Sabbath looks like? I don't think so. Look at verse 13 here. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now, if you're, well, you know this. As soon as you read this, what passages come to mind? What is that drawing from, obviously? Creation. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. God created in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. And so it's based on a creation ordinance. I mean, it goes all the way back to when God created everything. Just the way he created sets up the Sabbath principle for us. And when God rested, he rested from his work of creation. Did God rest from everything? No, you would cease to exist. You couldn't be saved if his work of redemption wasn't possible other than on a Sabbath. No, it's just resting from his creation. And so one of the things you see here with regard to the Sabbath is it's really imitating God. You ever thought about that? Like you go to work. Most of us work, you know, 5 days a week, right? In our society, that's kind of the way it functions. Some maybe more. But that you actually take a day off on Sunday is you're imitating God himself. He set the pattern and we're called to do it just like him. And he condescended for this. It seems that he condescended in such a way to show us what is best for his people. So what does that look like to imitate God? What are some things here that we can draw from? There's something about enjoying creation. Do you even think about creation on the Sabbath? Katie was telling me she went home a different way, and she drove through some back roads, Pittsburgh, and these are beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Y'all know about it. Y'all take it for granted. I'm starting to. But we were just talking on the phone, and she made a comment to me multiple times how beautiful the trees were and various things like that. When you're driving, what are you thinking about? Getting there as fast as possible, right, Doris? That's right. It's how many miles per hour over the speed limit can I get away with? Right? And the Sabbath is really a day to commemorate creation. I was looking out the window today, and all I could see was just like 3 or 4 different trees, and the wind was kind of rustling. And I was thinking about this. And I was just thinking about God's diversity in just the leaves. There's so many different trees that he's created. The glory of his diversity, the beauty that he's created, the wind that blows through, and then what does the wind make you think of? The work of the Spirit, working in the lives of God's people. There's something about creation that we can focus on, especially on Sabbath. How about Sunday morning when you're driving here? As opposed to, I don't know what's going on in your car, yelling at people and traffic and where's my Bible and all the various things that might be going on and how fast can I get there? I'm late. Slowing down on the Sabbath. Slowing down the day. Even just to look at creation. It's just one aspect. It's one part of the way we can imitate God, the way we can observe the Sabbath. Now, more specifically, he gives a little bit about what does it look like that you won't do any labor? Well, this includes. Who does this include? What does it look like? Look at the rest of verse 14. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that the male servant and the female servant may do what? Rest as well as you. Now, it's interesting that the ox and donkey are mentioned, isn't it? Why is that interesting because of this morning's passage? Remember how Jesus told the ruler, hey, you guys, y'all untie your ox and your donkey and you lead them to water. So even on the Sabbath, it didn't mean that the ox and donkey weren't going to be cared for, but they were to rest from their work. It also didn't mean that anyone else listed here could not do works of mercy, works of deliverance, that people could not be, you know, brought out of bondage, even by miracles, on the Sabbath day. It's quite incredible the way we tend to, and I'm going to throw us all in there, we will twist the scriptures like the ruler did. We have a tendency to do that as well. But notice what the point of all this is. Why are you not going to work? Because you're going to do what? You're going to rest. What is your Sunday like? Is it restful? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you get pulled in 15 different directions. I can attest to that. I know what my Sundays are like. But is there a concerted effort to rest? It sounds really weird. Is there a concerted effort to rest, to find refreshment? In the article that mentioned about the vacation time, the 6,600 million days are left on the floor, it also talked about how important rest is for people. It's incredibly important for, first of all, this sounds simple, relaxation, but your happiness. Oh no, we don't want to be happy. Yes. Happy in the Lord. Your productivity. If you don't get rest, if you just work, y'all all know this, you crash. And then also, it boosts your immune system. Do we need the secular world to explain to us the importance of a day of rest? We might. We might need them to explain it to us so that we will actually slow down and enjoy our Sabbath. You know, a couple things. I'm about to step into something. Let me just talk to the youth for a minute. What does this mean for you? You don't have jobs, right? You don't or don't? You do not. Okay, ready, youth? What is one way you can rest on Sunday? How about don't do your homework? I just stepped into it, didn't I? That's your job. Your job on what you do throughout the week is you do homework. But if you come to Sunday and you're still doing that homework, finding all the youth, you're robbing yourself of the rest that God has given you. I can attest this for myself. Going to seminary, I've told you before, I used to do a bunch of schoolwork, a bunch of seminary work. I'd go to church and I'd go home and I got challenged by someone not to do that. Changed my life. I was so much more productive during the week. There were times when you'd have to do something on a Sunday night or something, right? But make an effort not to do schoolwork if that's kind of a practice for you. But guess what? Okay, children, ready? I'm switching to the parents. It's the parents' responsibility to establish that pattern. Do you notice that in what he says? He's telling them, you shall, you know, on it you shall do no work. Now notice, you or your son or your daughter, the parents establishing that pattern, it's going to be very difficult. I don't have those kids yet that are really worried about working. Working for them is watching a TV show. Maybe they shouldn't watch TV. Maybe that would be a way they could observe the Sabbath. But these are really practical things. And all of us have to figure that out. Those of us that don't have children at home, those of us who don't work, maybe there's things we typically do on a Sunday, a regular day, that we go, you know what, Sunday I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put that aside and find ways to be refreshed by the Lord, not just sort of like, although taking a nap I think is great. I did like an 18-minute nap today. It's about all I could get. It was great. So for rest, very important for our lives. Look at verse 15. Here's sort of the punchline. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You're to remember you're a slave. What was life like for the Israelites in Egypt? Y'all know this. They're making bricks all the time. Did they ever get a day off? No. They were able to get a day off. This was a gift to them. Take this day and have rest. And then also remember that it used to be different for you. Your life used to be terrible. Side note, I was just listening to Keith Green sing, "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt." You know this song, right? Where he's singing and the Israelites always made it, they sort of romanticized their time in Egypt. He's saying, look back on your time in Egypt. Remember, you were a slave. That's no longer the case for you anymore. You've been redeemed. I brought you out. Commemorate redemption. What's our redemption? The resurrection. Every Sunday is coming and remembering, commemorating, and living out the resurrection of Christ. And what has happened to every one of us that knows him? Do we do this? Do we see Sunday? Do we see the Sabbath this way? Have you heard anything oppressive yet? It sounds like the greatest day on the planet. We want more days like this. This is where the Sabbath day is about liberation. The Sabbath day is about recreation, meaning that God creates a people for his own. That's what Sabbath is about. That's why when the ruler is telling the woman that she shouldn't have been liberated from her bondage, you see Jesus' indignation. This is the most appropriate day for something like that to happen. And for us, sitting around talking about it, y'all are at a Sunday evening service. Y'all are here because you want to hear the word, because you want to be in fellowship. You want to observe the Sabbath. So in some ways, I'm speaking to the crowd. Preaching to the choir, I guess, is the way it's said, right? I should have used that little cliche. But more and more, because we all need to grow in this, it's not as though we have graduated from the Sabbath observance. Okay, and then last one. And all of this is pointing to this, and you think about this, and in Genesis 2, when God says that he rested from his work, he's already got the future Sabbath in view. So we've already got, remember this word, eschatology in Genesis chapter 2. But you come to Hebrews, and look at what the author of Hebrews says here. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. There's this already not yet. You're already in the Sabbath rest in a sense, and then there's the greater Sabbath rest that awaits you. What in particular do you look forward to resting from? You know, when we think about this, the Bible's really talking about us resting from trial, resting from hardship, resting from the great difficulties that we're in. You know, when people go on vacation, and you maybe four people are going, and you ask each one of them, what are you going to do? What's going to be the first thing you do? One guy's like, well, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go sit on a beach. I want to read a book. I want to be left alone. And that's the way they kind of see vacation. Other people are like, I'm going to go play golf every day, all day, as many holes as I possibly can to like collapse. That sounds like vacation to me and rest. Everyone has sort of what's in their mind of what a vacation is. What in particular for you are you looking forward to resting from? And I think there'd probably be some overlap if we answered that. But when we come to our question time, I'd love to hear some answers on that. What is in front of you when you think about your life, when you think about what the what you live in, what are you looking forward to? He's telling us there is this Sabbath rest of which this day, Sunday, is just this little foretaste of. He wants us to experience it in some measure that we can't even now, in some way so that we'll have a greater taste for it. How much more looking forward to that? So you can see what the Sabbath is, even in the law that's given to imitate God, enjoy creation, rest and refreshment, enjoy redemption, and then look forward to your ultimate redemption. That's what the Sabbath is about. What if we incorporated that into our lives? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these wonderful promises you give us, the ways you love on your people, that you've thought of everything before time. You've given us this one day in seven of rest, of worship, of contemplating who we are in you, contemplating the greatness of who you are. Lord, may we be lost in that on our Sundays. May that be what drives us, gives us fuel for the Monday through Saturday hustle and bustle of life. May we look forward to that Sunday again, and then looking forward to the super Sunday, the ultimate Sunday, when you will return and we will be fully at peace, fully at rest in you. Lord, bless us with these truths. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.